Welcome or welcome back to the Two Brothers and Their Sports podcast. Our topics for this episode are March Madness bracket picks, a free agency recap, and our takes on the biggest signings, and last but certainly not least, Drew Brees retiring and the Saints QB situation. But first, we discuss our picks for the March Madness bracket.
For the Final Four, I have Iowa, Michigan, Baylor, and Illinois, and they're All the teams in this tournament, I think, did really well, or will do really well. But I just think these teams are superior. I think it's pretty self-explanatory, like, why I'm choosing these teams. So I chose these teams. And for the finals, I chose it to be Iowa to beat Michigan. And I have Illinois beating Baylor. And then I have Illinois winning the whole thing.
Really?
Yeah, because Iowa is the number two seed, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, they are.
And Illinois is number one. And but I do think OSU might go pretty far. They might even make it into...
Which OSU, though?
Both OSUs.
Oh.
Oklahoma State and Ohio State. I think both of them have a big chance of making it into the Final Four. I just believe these teams have a better chance. I have Illinois winning it all. But there I think the two next closest teams that could make it that I didn't list already are, like you said, both OSUs. So, yeah, I have Illinois winning it all over Iowa in the national championship game.
Wow. Okay, I don't think Luka Garza can take his team super far just by himself. I get he has other great players, and I think he'll win John Wooden Player of the Year because he's so good. But I don't think he can take his team all the way to the finals or even the Final Four. I have Iowa losing to Kansas and Kansas losing to Gonzaga. So in my Final Four, I have Gonzaga versus Michigan, and I have Michigan winning that game. And then I have Ohio State versus, this is an underdog, West Virginia. I think West Virginia beats Illinois to get in, and I think I have Ohio State beating Baylor. But by the way Baylor's played these past few games, you could easily say they're not going to.
It's just the past few games.
I know.
I mean, they're a number one seed from their play this whole year. It's not really just the past few games.
I know, but their record from before was keeping them afloat. And they, if you watch them play, which both Arsh and I did, we saw that they couldn't handle the ball. They kept falling behind. Even against OSU, Ohio State, Oklahoma State, and Cade Cunningham, they just kept fouling. Like, and Cade Cunningham got so many free throws in that game, and they ended up winning the Big Ten championship. Oklahoma State did. So I think that Baylor, I don't think they can keep up what they did at the beginning of the year. And that matchup between Ohio State and West Virginia, I have Ohio State going in the finals against Michigan, and I have this being a close game. I have Michigan actually winning. But it could go either way. But I think Michigan's going to win. I have them winning 85-78. And Gonzaga is a great team. But again, they have great depth because they're starting two juniors, and a freshman point guard, which is he's a phenomenal point guard, Jalen Suggs. He's going to go top five. I think top three in the draft. But again, you need to have great pieces around them. And they do. But I think Michigan does better. And Michigan versus Ohio State, like I mentioned. But, Arsh, how do you not have Ohio State getting into the, even beating Illinois? Because I know they're Ohio State's number two and Illinois' number one, but Ohio State has been on a roll as of late.
I think that it doesn't matter what they've been on as of late. That I think they're all really good teams, but I just think that the teams I listed are just better, and they'll be able to knock Ohio State out of the tournament.
Okay, now let's specifically focus on the projected player to be drafted, Cade Cunningham from Oklahoma State University, which we were mentioning before. How far do you think they're going to go? Because I have them losing against Illinois in the Sweet 16, but I think they could easily beat Illinois, and maybe even beat, in this case, I have West Virginia, easily beat them. So how far do you see Cade Cunningham and Oklahoma State going?
I agree with you about making it to the Sweet 16 because they're actually going against, they're going to have to, if they make it to the Sweet 16, they're going to have to go against Illinois, who I think is going to win it all. So it's kind of impossible for them to make it past the Sweet 16 in my rankings. And I believe that Illinois is the best team. So I don't think that Ohio State. So OSU means Oklahoma State. I don't think OSU will make it past the Sweet 16 because I think they're going to lose to Illinois. And even though they have rightfully, I believe, the best player in the country in Cade Cunningham, they do not have a good supporting cast for him. And basically every good player has needed a supporting cast. I mean, it's really hard to name someone that didn't have a supporting cast that did very well.
Luca Garza, but I don't think... He's not alone. He's, like, relatively alone. But that's why I don't have them making it super far, because he's...
I think Iowa has a better supporting cast than OSU does.
Really?
Yeah, I do believe that.
Oh, I would think Oklahoma State, but it's your opinion. Let us know what you guys think and who you think's going to win it all this year in the comments or review section.
Numerous free agents have already signed in free agency, and Arav and I are going to recap some of the biggest signings, including all the Patriots and Bucks deals, O-line deals, and lots of others.
All right, so starting with the Patriots deals, they really went out and got so many people in free agency, from Cam Newton to a one-year deal for 6 years, Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith, which we'll debunk that later, Matthew Judon, Jalen Mills, Kyle Van Noy, and two average, I think pretty good wide receivers, actually. But I'm going to say that the Patriots, starting with the Patriots versus Bucks, who did better, I'm going to have to say that the Patriots actually did a lot better. And if I'm in their division, if I'm the Dolphins, Bills, or Jets, not the Jets because the Jets aren't going to do good, but if I'm the Patriots or Bills, I'm going to be worried, especially the Bills. I think the Patriots can win this division. I have them going all the way to the divisional round of the playoffs. That's how good I think they are, and that's how great Bill Belichick has done in free agency. Starting with Cam Newton, I think Cam Newton can be the guy for one more year. He can be a bridge quarterback, as lots of people say, from connecting Tom Brady to their next quarterback that they get. And then and he had 12 rushing touchdowns last year. In total, he didn't play 4 games. So he did that with only 12 games. So again, great player. And then going to the tight end signings, Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith, these are both great signings, and if I'm Bill Belichick, I'm starting Hunter Henry with Jonnu Smith coming in on runs. And the reason I think they signed two tight ends that are actually very good is because both of them, if they get a good running back, Aaron Jones already signed, say Leonard Fournette. If Leonard Fournette goes to the Patriots, Patriots are definitely going to the divisional for me. They have this block, they can run 12 wide, they have a blocking formation they can use with both of these tight ends. Matthew Judon, they signed, great linebacker. Jalen Mills is okay, he can just hold down your secondary. Kyle Van Noy coming back, and that's good. And then finally, to help Cam Newton, two wide receivers, Kendrick Bourne, who's fairly young, and he's more of a speedster, and on a 3-year deal, and Nelson Agholor, who is being paid way too much. He's being paid $13 million a year. He's not worth that. He's not a number one wide receiver, but at least bringing him in is good for the Patriots.
Okay, so I think their best deal is actually Agholor.
Their best deal?
One of their best deals, because Agholor is just, he's a great player. He's improved on his drops, and he's really one of the best catching wide receivers route running wide receivers in the league. And he'd be a great wide receiver without the drops. And it looks like he's developing to not have as many drops as he had, even though he was pretty high up in the league. I think it was like 4th last year in drop rate. But it's
he
way
definitely
better.
Decreased it from when
yes,
he was in Philly.
He decreased it from when he was in Philly. They re-signed Kyle Van Noy, who was a game breaker when he was on their team a few years ago. They got Kendrick Bourne, and Matthew Judon is another big hitter. They paid him like he was a top player in the league, though. They paid him so much money. I think he's a great player and all, but based on his play last year, you shouldn't have paid him that much money. They also got Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry, and they got both of them for 3 or 4 years. So I think they should have only gotten one of them, and if they got the other, not for a long-term deal, because Jonnu Smith is going to be good for a long time.
But they're going to have, like, a deadly set with both of them, and imagine both of them, because they're both blocking tight ends, and a good running back.
It's not a deadly set, though.
Yes, how is it not?
Because their wide receivers are good enough that they could play instead of where Hunter Henry is. It's already a deadly set.
Do you think the Pats or Bucks had a better deal? Who did better in free agency then?
The Bucks get people back that they already had, which, I mean, I guess it is really kind of doing free agency because they could have gone to a different team. But the point is that I think since the Bucks just won the Super Bowl, they got to keep their team together. So I'm going to have to go with the Bucks because they're keeping their team together with this. They're keeping their team together by doing this because they just got back all the players that were going into free agency. So they should be still really good.
Okay, now moving on to some of the other deals that are just individual. So, obviously, Dak re-signed, but Yannick Ngakoue to the Raiders, one of the best, I believe, one of the best D-line players in the league right now, if not the best, and he went to the Raiders on a 13-year deal. I mean, not 13-year deal, on a $13 million deal per year for 2 years. I think that's a great deal for the Raiders, but also on the Raiders, they signed Kenyon Drake, which I think is not a good move for them. They already have Josh Jacobs. If they split carries, I won't be happy because Josh Jacobs is a great running back, and signing Kenyon Drake can bring some controversy into the locker room. But back to Yannick Ngakoue, that's a great deal. And then someone I think that should be signed, and Arsh, you can disagree or agree with me, is that I haven't seen Malik Hooker been signed yet. Yeah. Malik Hooker is a great, great safety. And he's relatively young. I think he's around 25, 26. And I think he is the number two safety only behind John Johnson. But the Vikings actually add Patrick Peterson. Arsh, what are your thoughts on that? Because some people say he's washed up. Some people say he's still very good. And then they also add Dalvin Tomlinson to their roster too.
Yeah, so I think their best player that they got was obviously Patrick Peterson, and he's one of the best corners in the game. He's proved that before. I mean, there's nothing really to say other than they got Patrick Peterson, and just saying Patrick Peterson, the name, really, I mean, you basically know who he is. You could just say Patrick Peterson and people know who he is.
Yeah.
They know what he's done in the NFL, and he's getting a one-year deal to go there and play, and obviously he's going to help their team.
Okay, two more signings, and then we'll go into re-signings. So, let's talk about Washington football team again. They had a great, great free agency, in my opinion, signing Ryan Fitzpatrick, William Jackson, who's a very good corner. I think he was one of the top corners. And this is the deadliest weapon, in my opinion, Curtis Samuel. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick, again, a bridge quarterback. I mean, they paid Taylor Heineke 2 years based on his performance against the Bucs, which I think he deserves it. And Ryan Fitzpatrick is going into a lot. He's going in as a starter in Heineke's competition. And I think this getting a quarterback that's actually good and plays with his IQ more than his arm is just amazing. And then Curtis Samuel getting someone alongside Terry McLaurin, who is a former running back. They can run some options, Wildcat. They can run end-arounds with him. I think another great signing. And if I had to choose, Curtis Samuel is the best signing Washington football team had.
Yeah, I don't know. It might be Curtis Samuel. It might be Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think they're gonna do a Tua thing where Ryan Fitzpatrick is gonna start, but then it's gonna go over to Taylor Heineke. But Curtis Samuel, like you said, he's gonna be a game changer on the Washington football team. There's really no way to stop him. I mean, it's really hard to stop him, and there's not. I mean, the best defense in the NFC East. I would argue that the best defense in the NFC East and maybe, like, top five in the whole league is Washington, and that's the team that he went to. So there's not a lot of opposing corners that can stop him. And now they have Logan Thomas, Scary Terry, Antonio Gibson, Curtis Samuel. I mean, they're stacked now.
Okay, and then the last thing before we go into re-signings, Will Fuller to the Dolphins. again, great move. They only signed him to a one-year deal, even though he is 27 or 28. If I were the Dolphins, I would sign him for 3 years. I guess I see what they're doing because they're setting themselves up to draft Ja'Marr Chase or Devontae Smith in the draft. And Will Fuller to the Dolphins is great for Tua. I mean, they get someone who can actually be a playmaker alongside Devontae Parker. Great signing, and he was doing great. You can say that in Houston, you can say the PEDs and made him play better. I don't think that, but he did very, very well. He proved to be a number one wide receiver. And to get a number one wide receiver for $10 million for a second-year quarterback is crazy, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, Will Fuller is probably one of the best, if not the best, wide receiver in this free agency. And now the Texans really don't have a lot of good people, if any. I mean, they've lost Will Fuller. Basically, their only
asset, I would say.
Yeah, except for Deshaun Watson,
he
also wants to leave. So it's not a great look for the Texans. I think they're going to have to go full rebuild mode now.
Going to the re-signings now, I've promised. Trent Williams re-signs with the 49ers on a record deal for a lineman, 6 year, $138 million. Definitely deserved, in my opinion. One of the best O-line players in the league. I would say the best, in my opinion, and signing with the 49ers on a 6 year deal. Because we've seen linemen play until they're 38 or 39. I mean, you look at Andrew Whitworth and you see what he's doing at 38 years old. And then Marlon Mack re-signing with the Colts. Okay, this is something that we're going to focus on because Jonathan Taylor is there, and they've signed Marlon Mack to be a backup, 1 year, $2 million. But if I had to say what the Colts are doing, they're going to keep Marlon Mack. They're going to rotate carries, I think, and they're going to have Marlon Mack as a mentor to Jonathan Taylor. But Jonathan Taylor already had a great season, so I don't see what the Colts are doing here, signing him for $2 million. I mean, he obviously wanted to stay because Marlon Mack can get way more than $2 million anywhere else.
I don't believe they should have actually re-signed him.
Yeah.
Because Jonathan Taylor is there, that's really all they need. They also have Nyheim Hines, if I'm correct.
Yeah, they do.
So they don't really need him. They're already pretty good. They're not needing a backup running back. But I guess, I mean, it's always... So, I mean, they did get him for kind of a bargain, only $2 million. So I guess it's a pretty good deal. But in my opinion, I just think that they would have been better off just keeping Nyheim Hines and not even getting Marlon Mack back.
Exactly. And then Leonard Williams re-signing with the Giants after two franchise tags. They signed him for $21 million a year for 3 years. Great player, game record, only 26 or 27 years old. Again, all these players are relatively young, and he is a game record, like I just mentioned. I think if you surround him with better pieces, like at the end of the year, you saw that their defense was really starting to get in the groove with Xavier McKinney and Leonard Williams, obviously, and all the great players. So keeping him is definitely a great thing. And then re-signing with the Lions. I mean, you got to keep your best players, Arsh. I mean, there's nothing really to say here. He was the best player on their defense, and they're just waiting for Jeff Okuda to form, and he didn't form last year, but they're just waiting for him to form, and Romeo Okwara is like one of their best middle linebackers, if not the best, so keeping him a great thing to do.
Yeah, I don't really have anything to say. You basically covered it all.
Okay, and then last thing, Mitch Trubisky signing with the Bills. This is something actually extremely interesting because Mitch Trubisky willingly went to the Bills to be Josh Allen's backup. Now, I don't know if they're going to have Josh Allen teach Mitch Trubisky because that doesn't seem likely. Josh Allen's only a fourth-year player. So, but Mitch Trubisky, I think he's proven to be a good player in the league. He just hasn't had a great offense. He's had an okay offense. And that's why he's done okay. But I guess the league sees him as a backup now, which I totally don't agree with. I think he's a low-end starter, if not average. I mean, you see Andy Dalton getting $10 million a year to be the Bears' starting quarterback. So I think Mitch Trubisky leaving, obviously something great to do. I would have gone to a team that was actually needy of a quarterback. I mean, the Saints could have signed him. We're going to get into this later with Russell Wilson. But the Saints could have signed Mitch Trubisky. They could have signed Russell Wilson. But Mitch Trubisky choosing to go to sit behind Josh Allen. Drew Brees walking away from the game of football after 20 years leading the league in passing and passing touchdowns and completion rating. Just a great all-around player. I mean, what do you make of this?
I don't even think he's great. No, I think he's all-time amazing.
But what do you think about him retiring?
I think that it's a good choice for him. It doesn't look like he's going to win in the next few years. And I always think about this. Why don't NFL players, if they want to win another ring so bad, why don't they just go to another team for like $500,000 and win a ring where they know they're about to win a ring? But
I mean, they need financial security with their family.
Yeah, but he already has financial security. 20 years in the league, he's probably going to become an owner of some team.
Yeah, but he also wanted to stay with the Saints.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's not only about that, because I know some people have talked to me and said, okay, why don't they just do this? Why don't they just do that? I think he just wanted to stay in the city of New Orleans and stay with his fans and stay with all the good people there and just stay there, like, and just be with them and not pull a Jason Witten. I mean, Jason Witten didn't really have any, I don't know why he would go to the Raiders. So I guess it's the same situation. But what I'm really mad about is that Drew Brees didn't even make it into the NFL 100.
I know, that really upsets me because, I mean,
he's a passing leader in the league. You have the most yards all time. Like, literally no one else has more than you. I guess Super Bowl is part of it, but he brought a franchise from nothing to great to amazing, and they're contenders every single year because of him.
Yeah, I agree. Drew Brees, not great, amazing player. And we saw in his tweet that it was very heartfelt that he just said he's going to stay in New Orleans, help New Orleans. He's not going to just leave the community forever, which I think is great. But going into Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill. So, well, first, I thought Drew Brees was actually going to play at least one more year. I mean, he posted the workout video. I mean, he posted it. I thought he was showing that everyone, okay, look, I'm coming back.
I don't think that really means anything.
Okay, but if not that, he also took the pay cut of $24 million from $25 million down to $1 million. I thought he was establishing his team. I thought he was setting himself up to win a Super Bowl before he was going to leave, like a Peyton Manning. But I guess not. He's going to retire and stay with his kids, which I respect. But now let's go into Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill's deals. So Taysom Hill got a 4-year extension that's voidable, and he signed an extension that is worth somewhere around $35 million a year. He's being paid like a starter, but there's a bunch of clauses in his contract that means he can also not make that much money. And Jameis, I think he signed a 1-year $12 million deal. He's being paid like a low end starter. I mean, I don't get why the Saints, I think they should start Jameis, and we really don't know that much yet. I mean, from what I'm hearing, I think that they're going to start Jameis and keep Taysom Hill in the role he's in, which, I mean, he's great at what he does. They don't need to force him into the starting role. But Jameis, $12 million this year. If they don't start him, I'm going to actually be genuinely upset, because Jameis Winston, he threw over 30 touchdowns and 30 picks 2 years ago with the Bucks, and they, even though they were 3-13, that shows how efficient he was with the football. If you throw 30 picks and you still throw 30 touchdowns,
Jameis Winston, I said they should have kept him at Tampa Bay on a short-term deal until Tom Brady retired. But here, I don't believe it's his team. I believe it's Taysom's, and eventually Jameis will learn under Taysom. Taysom's been there for so long, waiting for his turn. Jameis has been there for 1 year. But, like I was saying, Jameis did look good in the snaps he was able to take last year. He did not look bad. He looked better than he was on the Bucks. And I think that the system he was in was not bad, but it just wasn't the right system for him as a person and his strengths and weaknesses.
Exactly.
They were not, he was, the system he was in was not like his strengths and only his weaknesses showed up, and he showed his strengths a little bit. He had the most passing yards in the whole league in a pretty run heavy offense. I would say they run it a lot and down there in Tampa. So the point is that he showed his strengths. He needs to keep working on them and decrease the amount of weaknesses he has. And it looks like he's doing that with Sean Payton, but it is not his team yet. Right now, it's Taysom Hill's team. I think he's been waiting a few years. I think 4, maybe 5, right?
Yeah, no, even more.
He's been waiting so long. It's finally his turn. So I don't understand why people say it's Jameis' team. You can't just go to a team in free agency.
I mean, if I had opinion, my opinion is that Taysom Hill isn't even a real quarterback. Jameis Winston was incredibly efficient, led the league in passing when he was in Tampa. And not only that, he has Michael Thomas. They lost Jared Cook, but he has Taysom Hill that can play tight end. They can use him as a gadget player, which I agree they should do. He has many great weapons. He has a good defense. And why this is his team? Because, one, he sat behind Drew Brees for a year, which was the whole intent of him coming to New Orleans. Okay, and you can say that, okay, Taysom Hill sat behind him for 4 years.
Yeah,
I don't care.
You think Taysom Hill knows more than...
I never said Taysom Hill doesn't know more. I said
Taysom Hill
I'm saying
be
that
a better
Jameis
quarterback.
Winston,
he studied the all-time leader. He sat behind the all-time leader for so long now.
Okay, he sat behind the all-time leader and runs the ball like that crazy and doesn't
what
throw
do you mean,
the ball.
Crazy? Okay, you look up how many career touchdown passes Taysom Hill has.
That's
it's
because I put him
small
as a gadget weapon.
It doesn't matter.
When you
it doesn't look. Matter. Touchdown passes. I'm not talking about gadget weapon. You just said he can't throw. Then how does he have that amount of touchdown passes? He is not a bad quarterback. About every season, he has like 3 touchdown passes. And for the amount he plays, that's really good. For the position and like the way they use him, that's really good. So overall, the way they've been using him in past years shows that he can be an amazing NFL quarterback if they play him the way they did Drew Brees. And they also have that extra running back thing to do with him.
Okay. I agree that Taysom Hill's a great player, but I don't think he's a viable starter. I think that Jameis Winston should start for this team, and that's why they signed him to a 1-year deal. But anyway, great career to Drew Brees either way. Definitely deserving of a gold jacket. I think he'll easily be a first ballot Hall of Famer. But I think he was snubbed, like Arsh and I mentioned, on the NFL Top 100 team.
I don't really think there even is an I think he will be first ballot.
He will be first
ballot.
If it
doesn't, this is probably a top 5 quarterback of all time, and he didn't even make a first ballot. I don't even want to talk about what would happen.
But I think he will easily. And anyway, great career, and we hope he enjoys his retirement and hope he stays at least involved in the football community. Because, again, I love watching him on the field, whether he's doing Walter Payton-type things or whether he's just hanging out and actually playing football. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Two Brothers and Their Sports Podcast. If you're listening on YouTube, make sure to hit that like button and that subscribe button, and make sure to turn post notifications on so you're always notified when we drop a new episode. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, make sure to leave a review. We check those daily, and we will make sure to feature your comment in the next episode. Until next time, we're the Two Brothers and Their Sports Podcast.